You'll take your Bible this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15 this morning. There's an account here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, which many times we read as Christians, as a church. And it's very important, it's very precious. And this morning, I would like to bring it to our attention once again, but maybe from a different perspective this morning as we read it and as we just study it and think about it this morning. But in Luke chapter 15, and the first two verses are so important to notice, it's the context of what is going to take place. In verse number one, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And he, that being Jesus, he spake this parable unto them." Now a parable is a story. But it's not just a story, but it's a story that has a very important meaning to it, a spiritual meaning to it. To get them to just stop and really listen and to focus on what is being said to them, that it might stir their heart, that it might not just as many times go in one ear and out the other. And so Jesus speaks this parable, and here's the parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep," and he's really speaking about the Jewish people, and he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And then he says this, "I say unto you," and here he's drawing out the meaning of the parable, "that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's pray this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts through your word this morning. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Jesus began his public ministry when he was about 30 years old. And in the first year of his ministry to the public, he would go around and he would speak to multitudes of people. Great crowds of people, thousands of people. We read in the Gospel of Matthew about how Jesus would speak to the multitude on the mountain. It's called the Beatitudes. But then as his ministry progressed, in about the second year of his ministry, his manner of speaking and teaching shifted. And instead of gathering great multitudes, he would travel through Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and he would be teaching his disciples as he went. And he would be teaching them of his purpose. He would tell them that the Son of Man has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He would tell them how his purpose and the end goal would be that he would suffer and he would die upon a cross and he would be buried and he'd rise again the third day. And many times he would speak this to them. He says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." And as he would go about and teach his disciples, groups would gather, people would come to him, and he would minister to everybody. He was no respecter of persons. He would go through Samaria. Now the Jewish people wouldn't go through Samaria. And he would stop at a well because he was tired. And he would speak to a Samaritan woman, which was just unheard of. He would minister to lepers that no one would want anything to do with. He would speak to the rich, and he would speak to the beggar on the street. He would minister to the blind and the lame and the halt and the poor. Because you see, Jesus Christ loved everybody, cared about everybody, and would die for everybody. And so he would go throughout the different regions. And as he would travel with the disciples, teaching them more and more about his purpose and his ministry, groups of people would gather, and this day was no exception. Well, it was an exception. For when you think of the group of people that gathered, it was something that no one would really think of and no one would really expect. For in verse number 1, it tells us a certain group of people all of a sudden drew near to hear. And it would be a group that you just wouldn't think would even want to stop and listen. The Bible says in verse number 1, in Luke chapter 15, and verse number 1, it says a group of publicans. And you know, in verse number 1, it's very interesting because, boy, I tell you what, it gives us just what the people thought about this group. You see, these were publicans. But not only were they publicans, but, man, these guys are sinners. I mean, these are sinners. I mean, we're not just talking. These are sinners. For you see, they were publicans. They were Jewish men that, I mean, the rest of the Jewish people, they don't want anything to do with these guys because they were tax collectors. You see, they would establish a contract with the Roman government to collect taxes. Now, there were certain taxes that were collected by the Roman government, and then there were other taxes that were collected, import and export tax. And as you would travel into the different cities and regions, you would be stopped by these publicans, these Jewish tax collectors. And they had set up a contract with the Roman government, and they would give a certain amount to the Roman government, and then everything above and beyond that, well, that was for them. And so they would stop and they would inspect all your goods, whether you were coming and going. And right then and there, they had the legal authority to charge you a tax. And boy, they were scoundrels. Because they could just tell you what they wanted. And you'd have to pay it. The Bible says in verse number 1, they are publicans, but then it goes on to say this. They were sinners. Because to the Jewish people said, listen, you're Jewish, you're Hebrew. You shouldn't be doing this to God's people. Of all people, you shouldn't be doing this. You are the worst of the worst. I mean, basically they were telling them, you're the scum of the earth. You're sinners. And yet, here on this day in Luke chapter 15, this group of people, the publicans, sinners, the Bible says they drew near to hear Jesus Christ. You see, although they were publicans and sinners, they still had a heart that was seeking. And they drew near to hear Jesus Christ. That was one group. There were actually three groups of people here this morning that this story affected. There was the publicans and the sinners, that group. And they drew near, and as Jesus speaks this parable, they were listening. There was another group of people. It would be the disciples. The disciples were with the Lord Jesus. And of course, they were there. They'd been listening to him teach, and he had been teaching them and telling them things. And so this was just another opportunity for them to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ would say as he ministered. And then they were the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, if you had the publicans and the sinners over here, the worst of the worst of the worst, then you had the Pharisees, and the Pharisees would say, well, we're not like them. I mean, we're not publicans and we're not sinners because we're religious. We keep the law. And you can just watch us. Watch how we walk through the streets and we pray. Watch how we dress. Watch everything we do, and we observe all the commandments. And we are very religious, and we're just before God. We're religious. And they were there. And when they saw the publicans draw near to hear Jesus Christ, and when they saw Jesus Christ speaking with them, they began to murmur. Why is he speaking to them? Why is he talking with them? Doesn't he know who they are? Look what it says in verse 2. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And they were critical and scornful of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the company he was keeping. And how little did they realize that the purpose of Jesus Christ was to minister to everybody. For Jesus knew what the Bible would teach and what the Bible says. That whether you think you're the best or you know the worst, the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none just, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Jesus begins to speak, and he tells this story. And as we hear this story this morning, I want to bring it to our attention from the perspective of each of these three groups that would hear it. Because as they would listen, and as is typical even today, as we listen, each one of us can hear the same message. And yet God wants to speak to us as individuals. Just as it says in this story about that one sheep. And we have the disciples and they're listening. And as they listen, I'm sure that they caught one aspect of this story that struck their hearts. You have the publicans, sinners, and they're listening. They drew near to hear and the story that they heard would speak to them. And then the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people that didn't think they needed to hear what Jesus Christ would say, thought they were all set. The story would speak to them as well. You know, it's interesting how you can speak to one person and without even realizing, someone else can be listening and get something from it. I remember one day I was down in New London on Broad Street, and I started speaking with this one man. And I had a gospel tract, and I gave him the gospel tract, and I was trying to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he listened for about 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden he said, well, I've heard enough and I need to go. And my heart immediately it just dropped. I wanted to share with him about Jesus Christ. And yet, as he began to walk away, there was another man that had been standing about 10 feet away on the sidewalk. And this man came up to me, and he couldn't speak very well. He stuttered, and he said to me, can you tell me more? I'm interested. I wanted to hear. And for the next, I don't know how long, for the next number of moments, I shared with him about Jesus Christ in that moment, that day. That man trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. One man wasn't interested. But another man who began to listen came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so this morning, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. Now, I want us to think of this one story. One story. Just one story that Jesus speaks. And yet how it must have affected each one of these different groups of people. And in fact, not just groups, but individuals. And as I speak this morning, bring forth this, I pray that every individual here would listen to what the Bible is saying to you this morning. For you see, Jesus, the very Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one that died for you this morning, tells a story with a purpose, with a meaning. And here's a story that Jesus would say. He says, a man would have a flock of sheep, 100 sheep. And all of a sudden he would realize that one of those sheep is lost in the wilderness. And what would that man do? Would that man just stand there and say, well, I've got 100 sheep. What's one out of 100? You know, in the next story, I just thought of this, in the next story, a woman would lose a coin. And she would search the house for that one coin. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you seen a penny in the street? And what has been your response? Has your response been, that's just a penny? I don't have time or energy or strength even to stoop down. It's just a penny. It's just one penny. And I've got a wallet full of dollar bills right now. Actually, I don't. It's just one dirty penny on the street. And how many times have we just walked on by that one penny? You see, what Jesus is teaching here is that's not his heart. What he's teaching through these parables is he would care for that one lost sheep. He would care for that one penny. He wouldn't pass by. He would stoop down and lift that penny up out of the dirt. He would go after that one lost sheep. And the story is that not only would he just go after that one sheep, but he would leave the 100, the 99, and he'd go after that one sheep that was lost. Lost in the wilderness. And he would go after it until he found it. Boy, I tell you what. There's a persistence there. There's a heart there. There's a seeking there. And when he found that lost sheep, oh, he'd put it around his shoulders. He'd put it on his shoulders and carry it home. And when he got home, he would tell his friends, look, I found that lost sheep. And there would be rejoicing. There would be joy. And as he finishes this story, he then gives the meaning to it. And he says in verse 7, likewise, just like that story, he says, likewise, there's joy in heaven over one sinner. Now notice what he said. over one sinner that repented. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, the first thing that I thought about as I meditated on this story is how convicting this must have been to the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, to the first group of people, the Pharisees and scribes, this would be a very convicting message. This story is a simple story about a man that lost one sheep and gone after it until he found it. What a convicting message. And rightly so, because that was the purpose that Jesus intended for this message, because it was when the Pharisees and scribes, they looked at the publicans and the sinners, and they said, why is he eating with them? Why would he eat with them? Why would he not spend time with us? And they murmured. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 3, he spake this parable unto them, because he wanted their hearts to be convicted. And what he wanted their hearts to be convicted about is what they thought of themselves. Because when he finishes a story, and when he gives the meaning to the story and the significance, and when he says there's likewise joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Well, that's those people over there. And then he said this, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ wanted this message to strike conviction in their hearts. Because you see, they were just what you hear many people today say when you seek to give them a gospel tract and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's a response that is heard so many times. No, that's okay. I'm all set. I'm all set. I have my religion. And what essentially they're saying is, I don't need to repent. I don't need the message that you hear. I don't need what you have to offer. I'm okay. Boy, I tell you what, that's not the message that Jesus Christ would have for them. In fact, you just have to back up a few pages. And the message would be convicting as you go back to Luke chapter 13. You know, take time sometime and read Luke 13 all the way through Luke 16 and just think about what the Lord Jesus Christ would say. For in Luke chapter 13, there were some people that looked at others and they said, it's obvious these people are sinful. It's obvious these people are sinners. And twice in Luke chapter 13, in verse number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus speaks to these people that would judge others. And he would say, no, listen. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He would say it again in verse number 5. Except you all repent, you're all going to perish. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, hey listen, don't waste your time looking at everybody else. Don't spend time judging other people. Don't look at other people and where they are in life and who they are and what segment of society they're from and say, well, yes, of course, they need it. He says, consider yourself. Consider yourself, because he says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. You know, you only have to go down in Luke chapter 13 and to begin to realize the significance of what he is saying and just the seriousness of it. You see, sometimes we hear that and we don't take it as seriously as we ought to. We don't stop and think about what the Bible is really saying. Because if we really stopped and we really considered and we really understood the message that Jesus is saying, except ye repent, ye shall surely perish. Boy, I tell you what, we'll just let it go in one ear and out the other. But you see, you come down in Luke chapter 13, and there was someone that said, Lord, are there few, in verse number 23, are there few that be saved? And he said unto him, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. He says, well, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, he says, listen, right now, while you're alive, while you're here on earth, now is the time to really seek to know Jesus Christ, to seek the salvation that the Bible is speaking about. He says, because there is coming a day, there is coming a moment of time when you will want to go back to this moment. When you will look back and you'll say, oh, I wish I had that day over again. And the opportunity will be gone. Because in verse number 25, he says, there's coming a day when the master is going to rise up. And he's going to shut the door. And I tell you what, this should cause every one of us to stop and think seriously about what is being said. Because Jesus says there's coming a day when that master's going to rise up and he's going to shut the door. And then he says this, and ye begin to stand without and knock on that door. Book of Revelation says Jesus today is knocking on your door, wanting to enter in. Because Jesus knows there's coming a day. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, there's going to be a day when you're going to be knocking on his door, pleading with him to let you in. And the door's not going to open. And the door's not going to open. And you're going to be saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And it won't be a casual conversation. It'll be a pleading. Lord, Lord, open to us. And it says, he shall answer and say to you, I know not whence you are. And then you'll begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence. You have taught in our streets. You'll be outside knocking, Lord, let us in. And you'll say, listen, we were there. We were there that day when the publicans and sinners came by and listened. We were there when you told that parable about that lost sheep. We were there. We listened. But you didn't respond. We were there. And he'll say, I tell you, I know you not whence. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And the Lord says, no, the door's shut. You can't get in. The opportunity is past. Depart from me. And you might say this morning, you say, okay, so what's the big deal? Well, you only have to go over a few more pages to Luke chapter 16 to see how serious it is. To see what the Lord says when he means when he says, the door is shut. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. For in Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks again. And here the Pharisees are deriding him, mocking him. And then the Lord Jesus Christ gives another story. And in Luke chapter 16, in verse number 19, he says, there's a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. Here's a man who had everything. Once again, a man who would lift up his eye and say, I have need of nothing, not knowing that though he had everything this world could offer, what he needed only Jesus Christ could give. And he didn't have. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is meaning when he says, when once the master is risen up and the door is shut. It came to pass that the beggar died. And praise the Lord. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But then it says this, the rich man also died. And he was buried. And then the Bible begins to describe his eternity. And the Bible says he found himself in hell, being in torments. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, do you remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things? But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides this, besides all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And the story says that this rich man in hell, tormented of flame, just wanting a drop of water to cool him from the torment, speaks to Abraham, and Abraham says, listen, you're tormented in the flames of hell, and even though you would want to come to where we are, you can't. It's too late. When the rich man realizes this, he immediately thinks of his family. And he says to Abraham, he says, verse 27, and then he said, I pray thee therefore that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. He says, I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, all of a sudden this man realized that while the door was shut for him, it was still an opportunity for his brothers. And someone needed to go reach them with the message that Jesus saves. Someone needed to go tell them in this place, so they would understand their need to be saved. Someone must go to tell him. And he says, please, Abraham, send someone. In fact, he says, Abraham said to him, well, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word of God. Let them hear them. And he says, no. Look at verse 30. Nay, Father Abraham, But if you send someone, if you send someone back from the dead, surely they would listen. And you know what Abraham said? He said, if they'll not hear Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they won't hear this right here, if they won't hear, right here what the Bible says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He says, no, if they won't listen to this, he says, even if someone came back from the dead, he says, they won't repent. They won't change their mind. They won't change their attitude. They won't turn from their sin and turn to Christ. He says, they won't repent. And Jesus speaks this parable of a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and he says, the shepherd went off to seek that one lost sheep and found it and comes home rejoicing. And he says, there shall be joy in heaven over that one sinner that got saved more than over 99 just people that don't think they need to repent. And the message that Jesus was speaking here, his purpose was to bring conviction to these Pharisees and scribes that thought they were okay, didn't think they needed the message. They looked at others and say, well, yeah, they're sinners, but not us. My friend Jesus cared for them as much as he cares for anybody else. And all he wanted them to do was get the message that they were a sinner just like everybody else and needed a Savior just like everybody else. Praise God that one night, praise God that the Bible tells us that one night, a Pharisee, in fact, the Pharisee of Pharisees, a man by the name of Nicodemus, would come in the middle of the night and knock on Jesus' door. And he would spend time with Jesus Christ and he'd say, we know thou art come from God. And Jesus Christ would lovingly speak to him and tell him, listen, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, can't enter the kingdom of God, can't see the kingdom of God. Marvel not, Nicodemus, when I say unto you, you must be born again. You see, my friend, what Jesus is saying, there needs to be a moment in time. There needs to be a moment in time when you repent of your sins and you turn to Jesus Christ, realizing you're a sinful person, headed for judgment, an eternity in hell. And then you understand the love of God, that he would send his Son, and Jesus Christ would love you so much that he would lay down his life for you on the cross of Calvary, so that you, a filthy, rotten sinner, just like everybody else, could be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, and all your sins could be forgiven. Instead of being cast into hell, you'd be welcomed in the presence of God. Nicodemus trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Because you see, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus speaks this parable as these Pharisees and scribes that thought they didn't need a Savior, and thought they were all right in themselves. Jesus spoke this parable with a heart that was just burdened that his story would bring conviction to them, one by one, that they needed to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, there were two other groups of people here. There was the Pharisees, who Jesus was directly speaking to in response to their murmuring. And yet as Jesus Christ was speaking to them, just like today, his disciples were standing about. And they were eager to learn. They were eager to listen. And the message had to have struck their hearts as well. And while it was a convicting message to the Pharisees, it must have been a challenging message to the disciples. Because the challenge was this. And the challenge to them, and what would challenge them was the intensity of the purpose of Jesus Christ, that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, if we were to go over to the Gospel of John, we would read the testimony of when Jesus Christ first began to minister, and there were some men standing by that had heard the message of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist had said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he had pointed to Jesus Christ, and there was these men that were standing there, and they turned to Jesus Christ, and they began to follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ turned to them, and he says, "What seek you?" And they said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And Jesus Christ said, "Come and see." And what Jesus Christ was saying, "Come, learn of me. Learn of me. Follow me." And they went with the Lord Jesus Christ that night. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that the next day, one of them, Andrew, he ran to find his brother Peter. And he ran to find his brother Peter, and he said, Peter, we have found the Messiah. We have found the one that the whole Old Testament had pointed to. We have found the one that God sent. And it is him, Jesus. And Peter came and he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And then they went out and began to tell others. And Jesus had told his disciples, he says, "I want to send you into the world. I want to send you with a message of hope. I want to send you into the world with a gospel. And I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is the message that Jesus Christ gives to us. But so many times, we can become complacent about that message. There's a story that I read. It wasn't a story, it was an account. And it was a man that was unsaved. And he walked up to a Christian. And he said, "If you really believed what you say you believed, if you really believed that a person without Christ is going to spend eternity in hell, in the torments of hell, forever and ever, I would think that you would be a lot more fervent about your message." And in this story, Jesus Christ, even in this story, it should be a challenge to us. It was a challenge to the disciples because Jesus Christ saying, "Listen, there's one sheep that's lost." Jesus Christ said, "I came into this world to save that one sheep. And I came to seek after that one sheep. And I'm going to search for that sheep. And I'm going to seek after that sheep. And I'm going to go into that wilderness. And I'm going to keep looking for that one sheep until I find it." And that's the challenge that God has for you and me today. is to be going into all the world and seeking for the lost, that they might be saved by the message of the gospel. In fact, you go back in Luke chapter 14, and there's another story that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. And it speaks about the desire of God, the intense desire of God for folks to be saved. And in Luke chapter 14, in verse number 16, he says this, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things that are ready." Now, I don't know about you, but when there's an invitation for supper time, you don't have to tell this boy twice. And you don't have to yell real loud. Because if you say supper time, I'm running. But think about this supper. This is a picture of God Himself giving an invitation to anybody that they would be saved and fellowship with Him and eat at His table. No greater supper could be realized than this. No greater moment could there be than when we will stand in the presence of God in His home in heaven, around His throne, and fellowship with Him. Because God desires to fellowship with you and me. Jesus Christ, as He spoke to the disciples in John chapter 14, He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so this great supper is made, and the invitations are sent out. And yet, unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Can you imagine this? You've been invited to a supper. I mean, to a great supper. The greatest of all. And you're going to make an excuse? I mean, you're going to say, "I've got something better to do." Tell you what, a group of us guys went down the Texas Roadhouse the other night. I tell you what, man, oh, it was good. It was good. Man, it was good. Wasn't it good? Oh, some of you weren't there. I'm sorry. Let me just tell you, it was good. From the bread, oh, to that, whatever, that onion. Yeah, whatever it is. To the chicken tenders, to the gravy. Oh, I mean, it was good. And they began to make an excuse. One said, "I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it." Really? You should have checked it out before you bought it, but anyways. Now you're going to pass up a supper to go look at the ground you already paid for? Dumb excuse. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. Not a good excuse. The last one, he thought he came up with a really good excuse. "I got married. I can't come." Even that isn't a good enough excuse. So the servant comes in verse 21. He shows his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, says, "Go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." He says, "I want you to go. I want you to go in the streets and find anybody. Bring them in. I've got this feast prepared. Bring in the halt, the maimed, the poor, the lame. Just bring them in." Servant goes out. Verse 22 does as he's commanded. And he says, there's still room. There's still room. Oh, I'm so glad today that that is in there. You see what that is saying? There's still room for you. There's still room for someone today to be saved. The Lord said unto his servants, go out into the highways, hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And the message is, God said, I want my house to be full. I want my house to be filled. And he said, I want you as my servants, excuse me, to go out, invite them to come in. And how the story of the shepherd seeking that one sheep must have been a challenge to disciples as the Lord would send them out. And what a challenge it should be to us as Christians to think that God is the one sending us into the world to invite others to spend eternity with him, with a message of hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus Christ tells a story, as he tells a story, the Pharisees hear. And hopefully their hearts were convicted of their need of a Savior. The disciples hear. And I'm sure their hearts were challenged. But you know, there was one more group of people. Publicans. The sinners. The ones that had drawn near to Jesus Christ to hear him speak. And I tell you, what a comfort this message must have been to them. What a comfort this story must have been to them. I remember Thursday night up in Willimantic. And it was a Thursday night. We were having Bible study and we hadn't started yet. And the front door was open. And there was a man from the church there named Israel. And he's just a very flamboyant individual that will speak to anybody. And he loves Jesus Christ. He got saved while he was in prison. And he started coming to our church. He's just grown in the Lord. And he was standing out on the sidewalk. And as he stood out on the sidewalk, this man came pretty much running up the street. And this man was shaking and trembling and crying and just stumbling up the street. And Israel stopped him and said, stop. And the man stopped and Israel said to him, he says, what's the matter? And the man turned around and looked behind him, and about 50 yards down the street, he pointed, he says, those men just beat me up. They knocked my teeth out, and I've lost my glasses, and they've just beat me up, and they're coming after me. Israel, a big guy. He said to this man, man's name was David, he said, come inside to the church. You'll be safe here. Come inside and sit down. And he says, and I remember this, I was listening. He says, here you'll be loved. And he says to this man, here you'll find the love of Jesus. And the man came in. And Israel stood at that front door. I'll never forget it. He brought the man in and then he stood at that front door. And as those three other guys came walking by, he just growled. He just looked at them like a mama bear. And he just guarded that door. And this man came in. He sat down at a table. And he began to cry. And he began to tell his story. And he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic that had got thrown out of his house by his wife. And he was living under the bridge up at Willimantic, totally undone, helpless, lost. And that night he was at the end of his ropes. He was just in the pit of despair. And he just sat there. He poured out his life story. What a story it was. When the Bible says in Psalm 40 that we're in a horrible pit, this man was in a horrible pit. And we just began to lovingly tell him about Jesus Christ. We told him about how that even though no one else seemingly cared for him, that God cared for his soul and Jesus Christ loved him and died for him. And after about an hour, I mean, it was about an hour sitting there and talking with him. He wanted to be saved. And he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I tell you what, that moment you could see his countenance change. And you could see on his face the peace of God that came into his heart and soul because he had trusted in Jesus Christ. I gave him a ride that night. He spoke to me afterwards and he said, would you help me out? He says, please, Pastor, would you take me back to my house? And would you ask my wife if she would take me back? And I thought, boy, what is this going to be like? I get myself in some predicaments. And I drove about 20 minutes north to his house, drove up this driveway. All the lights are off. It's about 9:30 at night, Thursday night. And I went up to the front door and I says, why don't you stand right over here for a minute? And I knocked on that door. His wife came to the door. And I said, ma'am, you don't know me and I don't know you. And I says, I'm a pastor. And I says, your husband. And I says, I know all about your husband. I said, but he just came into our church tonight and sat down and heard about Jesus Christ. And he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I said, ma'am, I know that God has changed his life. Would you please give him another chance? And she looked at me and she says, because you're a pastor, I'll let him back in. He came up to the door and he went in and they shut the door. And I said, okay, I guess I'll go home. I'm driving home and my phone rang in the car. It was a number I didn't know, so I pulled over and I answered the phone. And it was David. And he was all excited because I told him to start reading the Gospel of John. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, I'm sitting down with my wife and we're reading the Bible together. You see, folks, that's what the difference Jesus Christ can do in a person's life. Where a man at one moment of his life is walking down a sidewalk, the pit of despair. Couple hours later, his life has changed forever. And he's sitting there reading the Bible to his wife. You know what the most arresting part of that story is? That eight weeks later to the night, that man would be walking across the same street in Willimantic. And get hit by a car and die. But the glorious thing is this, that when he died that night, that door wasn't shut to heaven. It was wide open, and he was welcomed home in the presence of his Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what a message of comfort this must have been to these publicans and sinners, because no one else wanted anything to do with him. They were despised, ridiculed, mocked. You're publicans, you're sinners. And they hear this story. A story from the lips of the one who would die for them so that he might save their soul. And how they must have just been like David as he heard the story about the love of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ would speak and he would say, you know, that one lost sheep, that one sinner that's out there in the wilderness, I've come to seek that one and to save his soul, that I might put him on my shoulders and bring him back to heaven with rejoicing. And what a message of comfort it is to one that all of a sudden realizes their need of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to turn there, but you only have to go a few pages over to Luke chapter 19. And Jesus Christ is entering into another city called Jericho. And in that city, there's another publican. His name is Zacchaeus. And whether Zacchaeus had been there that day where the publicans drew near to hear him, or maybe he had heard from other publicans about what Jesus Christ had said in that story. But you see, there came a day when Jesus came to the city where Zacchaeus lived. Zacchaeus, he was a publican. Oh, he was a sinner. But he also drew near to hear Jesus Christ. The only problem was that there was a big crowd. Zacchaeus couldn't get through. He couldn't get through the crowd. He was short and the crowd was big and he couldn't get through. So Zacchaeus says, I want to see him. I want to hear him. So Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree. And oh, we sing our simple songs about Zacchaeus. We little Zacchaeus. But how precious that day must have been to that man, as he sought to do everything he could to see and hear Jesus. And he climbs up into that tree. And how comforted his soul must have been when he heard these words from Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus. Out of that big multitude. Out of that multitude, that crowd of people. He's speaking to me. He's talking to me. He knows me. He's seen me. My friend, listen. Jesus Christ sees every one of us. He knows you this morning. He's seeking you this morning. He's speaking to you this morning. And the Lord said to Zacchaeus, 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 come down. Because Zacchaeus, today, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. Imagine that. A publican, a sinner. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today, I'm going to your house. It's your opportunity, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he jumped down out of that tree. The Bible says he received Jesus joyfully. And Jesus later on, there was a change in Zacchaeus' life. Because Zacchaeus says, you know what? Anything I've taken dishonestly, anything I've stole from people, he says, I'll restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to your house. Today, salvation has come to your house. And one day, Jesus stands there. His disciples are gathered around him as he has been teaching them. And all of a sudden, a group of publicans and sinners draws near with a heart hungering to hear what Jesus would say. And as they gather around, the Pharisees come by. And they begin to murmur and complain. What's he doing speaking to sinners? And Jesus tells a simple story. Simple story, but yet what a meaning. What a meaning it is. Because Jesus would say this, that he, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Three different groups of people heard that message. To one, it must have been a message of conviction. Maybe you're here this morning. God is speaking to your heart saying, listen, listen, you need to be saved. Oh, my friend, listen, God wants you to be saved. This is what this whole Bible is all about. It's what the whole purpose of this church is about. That you'd understand your need to be saved so that you don't perish throughout all eternity. What a message it was to the publicans as they realized that all the whole world thought they were the worst. That Jesus Christ said, I love you and I died for you so that you could be saved. And what a message it was to the disciples as they realized this is what the purpose of our life is. To tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He loves each and every one. And he died for you and rose again so that you might be saved if you repent of your sins and put your faith in him and him alone. God's speaking to each one of us this morning. What message is he speaking to you? Will you listen this morning? Will you hear his voice? Will you hear what he says to you this morning? Nothing is more important this morning than hearing what the Lord would say to you. Do you need him today as your Savior? Do you need him today as your Savior? Are you in need of being saved this morning? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In a moment, we're gonna pray, and then we're going to sing a hymn. And as we sing that hymn, if you need Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can either come down front, and I'll meet you down front, and have someone sit down and explain the gospel. Or just turn to someone next to you and say, please, I want to be saved today. Help me. And someone will show you how to be saved this morning. But what about us as Christians? Has God spoken to our hearts this morning? Stirred our hearts that we'd realize the most important thing in the world is that we'd be about God's business of telling others about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for thy word. Lord, I pray that your word has spoken to our hearts, that each and every one of us has heard the message that you have for us. Lord, for that one that needs to be saved this morning, may they humbly come to you, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.